Discussion for Lecture 10, I Listen Within and Reveal to Me Who and Where I Am. The quiet in me grabs my attention so completely I am unaware of anything else. I live in a sense of magical brilliance. All right, well, the question is, how can we live in a sense of magical brilliance? What does magical brilliance mean? Christy, do you have an idea what magical brilliance might mean?
A state of relaxation.
Relaxation, magical brilliance?
Yeah, that's illumined.
Illumination?
And...
sounds good.
You are really calm, serene, and peace. Inner peace.
Sounds like you're there already. Right? Beautiful. Now, I live in a sense of magical brilliance. Now, how does that lend itself to magical brilliance?
When you enlighten me, you really go within. You're no more aware of the surroundings.
Now, see, brilliance to me means sort of a illumination. It means a awakeness. It means something alert, that you're aware of it. Now, how in what you're saying are you brilliantly aware?
Meditative mood.
I see. Well, it still doesn't talk brilliance to me. Now, maybe I'm just looking for the wrong answer, the wrong word. What do you think brilliance means?
Happiness.
Seeing things done.
Feeling what?
Seeing things fulfilled, done.
Fulfilled. Sound.
Done. It is done.
Dong? I'm not getting that word.
You see it done.
Oh, done.
Yes.
Oh, done. Done. Okay. All right. So you feel that your meditation has been completed, that your illumination has been completed, you have been aware,
yeah,
and the awareness is done.
It's accomplishment.
It's complete.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Good. Now, what does that mean to you? What attitude might be complete in that sort of thought? What sort of attitude might be complete in that awareness thought being done?
You are awakening.
Awakening, yeah. And awakening, what would that mean? If you are awakened in a meditative attitude, or you're awakened in an illumined attitude, what are you awakened to or from?
You know that you know all.
Oh, illumination, knowing that you know it all, knowing that you are one is all. Okay,
yeah.
That's good. And what is your thought on that, Christy? The same or different?
I feel wonderful.
Oh, I see. You feel a sense of goodness, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of reality, right? Mm-hmm. Those are words that you've used, yeah. That's great. Okay, now, if that's the case, then what? Where does your sense of magical brilliance come in?
It leads you into a deeper, euphoric moment. You are so high up.
You're totally up.
In tune.
So brilliance to you and your magical brilliance means that you're totally illumined.
You get answers. Things.
Well, now, in your estimation and in your experience, where have you ever been so active in your meditation? What meditation have you ever had, even an inkling of it, that left you with magical brilliance, left you with a feeling of such an upness?
In the third hour.
In the third hour?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now, this is not nice of me to ask, but is it the third hour I give, or the third hour you give, or the third hour each of us gives?
In the third hour, when you follow it alert, you're not drifting, and you followed it through your leading it, it's indescribable. That's what it is.
That's good. That's good. Well, indescribable is a good word to fit that sort of a thing. What do you think? What do you think, Sybil, on this sort of thing? How would you recognize when you were having an indescribable meditative experience?
It's indescribable.
I'm sorry?
It is indescribable. You cannot say, yes, this is what it is. Because
that's true.
You are just satisfied.
Now that's a word, too. You're satisfied. Yeah. Complete and satisfied. Now,
you're in a different dimension, sort of. Oh, wow, what's going on here?
We've been giving this a lot of generalizations, but can we be particularizing on any of it? Can we say something specific that we are wowed about, or that we are meditative about, or that we are illumined about?
The answer.
What?
It reveals things you want to know. You have a revelation.
Yes, but what's the revelation? Can you think of anyone?
Answer to your questions, desires, or something mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can just come up ideas.
You see, this sort of thing
you can have an inspiration. Like you said, if you have it at that time, write it down.
Yes. And if you don't, it's done.
You may come out of the meditation and then it ends there.
Yeah.
If you try to remember.
It's tough.
Yeah, but if at the time it came up.
It's natural.
You write it, then you have something to follow up.
Well, it's a habit that we can train ourselves in. The habit of whenever we have a meditation, write down what it is that was the essential aspect of the meditation, because it might prove to be something very beautiful, very powerful for us. And I believe it is. Now, how would you write down something? And like when you wake up from a dream, how would you write down something? You keep a pad of paper and a pencil right by your bed, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you have light.
if you write carefully, you write.
The inner illumination will.
You
can actually
write. Or take out your flashlight, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're right. It is not all those things, but it is limiting not to be able to just turn on the light and have it be on. I know I like it so much. I have one of my lamps that I just touch it and it goes on, and touch it and then it goes off. I touch it 3 times to get it high and then it's off. But it's very nice. Although in the middle of the night, if I wake up and I happen to put my arms out this way, touch the lamp, I turn on the light, and I have to remind myself, I did that. But yes, light is good. And having the ability to say what you want to say, to be able to write it down. Because now, you can be sure, you can't be sure, anyone could have flashlights. I don't know, how long have they had flashlights? Flashlights have been around for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And you have lots of flashlights at your place.
Yes.
Just stack them up around your bed so you can wake up each time and turn on a flashlight and write. But that's okay now. I think that's great. Now, if you had an Apple computer, like my little one here, and you use that Apple computer, what would happen was that when you open and it's dark outside, the keys are all lit up.
Okay.
And you can see what you're writing, Makes it very nice. But, of course, if you're a 10-finger touch typewriter, then you just type away, Your one finger touches those center keys and you know where you are and you just flick away.
You still need light to, to operate the computer.
And they have some new computers out that you just pick up your thing, whatever it is, turn on your microphone, and it records what you're saying instantly.
Okay.
But records it and types it at the same time. Nice, huh? I should really have something like that for our lectures, you know, that it records and types at the same time. And then you'd have a manuscript. But it should be edited.
And print at the same time, too.
What's that?
Print.
Print. Yeah. Oh, yeah, print. Yeah, well, yeah, you'd have to have the printer special, extra. But I had a computer at one time that had a printer built into it. It was not too practical, but it was nice. Yes. So, I guess we pretty well understand this aspect of the meditation. Let's go over, once again, the idea of how you enter into meditation. How do you become quiet? How do you become responsive to what the meditation has to say to you? How do you become intuitive to it, you know, reflective to it? How do you go into quietness in meditation?
We start with affirmation.
Hmm?
You go in with affirmation.
With an affirmation, yeah, good.
Then from there, you quieten and begin to listen. Then there may be a dialogue.
That's true.
Then from the dialogue, something starts coming up.
That's
an
true.
Illumination. You get awakened, and then from there, inspiration and
that's true.
Starts coming in, and you become aware that what you are seeking is being revealed, evolving.
Will every illumination, will every meditation leave you with the feeling that you have been meditating and let you feel confident that you were meditating?
It may not.
Christy says not necessarily, and you said not. Why do you say not necessarily, or why do you say that it might not? You might not know it?
Because sometimes you just go in to relax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To relax. And you are not looking for anything per se.
True. Mm-hmm.
So you relax. Something may come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that you had a feeling of satisfaction.
Of peace and satisfaction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good. What's your feeling on that, Christy?
I think there are levels of meditation.
On meditation,
levels.
How come sometimes we don't recognize that we were in meditation when we really were? And you were going to answer that?
Because the meditation where you actually have enough time, like the 3-hour meditation, you say, then you go through that, say, from affirmation. But meditation, you just want to go within, to meditate. Even in the midst of people, you just put yourself in a situation, little affirmation, quick answer, or just in a quiet area, or just bend your head down and just go within an answer. Because we meditate all the time.
Well, your statements are absolutely correct. But then there's the statement that comes along, it's nobody's business, not even ours, if we've been in meditation. Because you're going in meditation lots and lots and lots of time, and you're not even realizing it. You're driving, and you're half and half in meditation. You're in meditation of, well, you drive well, and you see everything carefully. You're alert, but you're also thinking of 100 different things. Now, I gave a meditation the other day as we began our program, and as I gave it, on I'm God, God I am, I am God, God I am. Do you know how many thoughts can go through your mind while you're saying, I am God, God I am? You can have your mind go through 100 different thoughts. and not even realize you're doing it, thinking that you're being so proper, saying, I am God, God I am, and you're really wandering off over the whole landscape. It's an amazing experience and kind of fun. But if you're aware of it, it's fun. But the thing is, when you say, I'm God, God I am, you're not really meditating. You're putting an affirmation in form. And that's good. When you're really meditating, your mind likes to take a break. And you like to take a thought break and just go into whatever it is you're thinking about. You're saying, I like me, I like me. Now that's a good statement that isn't going to take you astray. I like me is going to take you straight into your meditation. It's going to, yeah, I do like me, I do. And you just feel good inside of yourself. And then you're not thinking anything. You're not really thinking anything, but you're thinking everything because you're thinking you like you. And you see, that is really a fantastic way to go. It's a way to start. You understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun. So, you like that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We have the theme meditation, which is so powerful and so vital. It leads us into so many avenues of awareness that if we can just enter into meditation and then let go, totally let go without trying to figure out where we go next, then we'll find out that we've already been where we went next and a few other places, and we're ready for even deeper awareness. And that's fun. That's a great joy, a great feeling of, wow. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's a great experience. Okay. Any more thoughts on this that you have? So we've covered pretty much of Lecture 10 here, and listening within. Let's just take a moment that listening within, what happens when you listen within? When you listen within, you oftentimes think you're hearing nothing, but you are hearing something. You look at a little child playing in the sandbox, and he's listening within. And what is he hearing?
Do this, do that.
He is hearing many things.
Yeah.
And what he may be hearing, he's taking his little car, and he doesn't have to say, to be the fire engine. It's in his mind. And he just moves the car along, and it's making that noise. You can hear it if you listen. And he can hear it, but he's not making it, you're not making it. It's making it itself, because he's created it there. And then he has this hill he goes up, and the hill he goes down. And he has a railroad crossing, and he has all these things that he has there in his little sandbox, which is maybe, you know, a couple feet square. And what's going on? What's going on? He is in a state of active meditation, and he's having the time of his life. And if you call him, you may not get his attention because he's not there. He's in his game time, and he's having fun. And he doesn't even know you're calling him. Many parents say, "Don't you hear me? Didn't you hear me?" Well, yeah, but I didn't really know you were calling. You know, I just heard a noise. And honestly, that's all he did here. Because he is in a state of meditation that's glorious. And you may be sitting at your sewing machine or sitting at your computer or doing something, and you're typing away or working away, and you hear in the background the telephone ringing. And you know you should answer it. And then you don't think it's that important. Because where you are right now in this relaxed, competent state of production, why change? You may go to the phone, it's nothing, you know, as it normally is. And so you don't bother answering the phone. You don't even concern yourself with who called. And if they want to call, they'll call again. And when they call again, I tried you before, but I didn't get you. Oh, that was you, huh? Yeah, I missed you. You know, okay, let it go with that. Well, what is it you wanted to call about? Oh, I just wanted to tell you about my son coming home and my daughter doing this and stuff. That's nice. That's nice. But we think the phone is so important that we have to dash to it, even from our state of meditation, and even from our state of having a lecture, like our friend Aiken jumping up and answering the phone out there, and then walking across the room talking on the telephone, on his cell phone. You know, that's as though the phone is the most important thing in the world, and the conversations were even more important. And if the truth were known, if we knew exactly what the conversation was, we'd find out that they were probably talking about the new recipe they found for making spaghetti or something, you know. Terribly important. But to the moment, because they were listening, because they were equating with each other, they were feeling that that was the most important thing in the world to do, because that's what they had tuned into. Now, Mr. Aiken wants to be an aware student. He wants to be an aware student of this philosophy. Well, if he will just take his ability to talk on the phone about nothing in the middle of an important philosophical lecture talking, take that ability to talk about nothing and put it to the listening to the philosophical lecture, he'll have everything. It's just a matter of where our priorities are, where we put our interest level. And if he puts his interest level in the right place, he'll put it in the right... He wrote a big, long letter and wanted to tell me all about everything. And so everything is just fantastic, and that's good. And we'll see as he goes along how he progresses. And he may be one of our good students, because our students who bug me the worst turn out to be the most excellent students in the long run. The ones that are hardest to work with are the finest, because there's something about them. They have a naive innocence about them. You know, they're not terrible. They're not bad. They're not evil. But they're just unaware that that's not how you do things. You know, and as you flow with them, you've come to find out they're not doing it out of meanness. They're just doing it out of their own lack of real deep concern. Now, where do you stand? Where do you stand on any of these things? Do you stand on the idea that you are illumined from within at all times? You can. When you say, "I am illumined from within at all times," can you stand on the fact that you are brilliant?
Yes.
That
yes.
You are, what is it here? Magical brilliance?
Yes.
Are you magical brilliance?
Yes, I am.
I think that's good. You think it's good?
Wonderful.
Ooh, yes. And always remember that, magical brilliance. Because it's a good phrase, it's a good idea, it's who you are. And when you're a magical brilliance, what happens to you? Everything is revealed to you. Mm-hmm. Everything is fulfilled for you. You are that magical brilliance, you are that magical totality, and you are that right now, and there is no other time for you. You are the fulfillment of that magical brilliance. Now, do you want to be that?
I am it.
If you want to be that...
I am it already.
Oh, I see. It's not a matter of wanting to be it, you are it.
I am it.
Now, are you kidding yourself?
The truth, I am
it. It's the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Nothing but the truth.
Yeah, and that is good. And as you make it yours, what are you doing to yourself? As you make it the truth, and as you make it yours, what are you doing for yourself?
My magical brilliance.
You're living it. You're living it. You're experiencing it. You're knowing it. You are it, and it's wonderful. But it's only wonderful if you put it in motion, and you bring it about.
Done.
And do you put it in motion and bring it about?
It's done.
Oh, it's done. Oh, all the time you come up with that word, it's done.
Done.
You must like that, it's done. I think that's terrific. That's terrific.
Once, even before I think about it, it's done. Because original. Purity.
Okay. You go to your nurses in your hospital there, and you say to your nurses, "All right, this is what we do here. It is done." This is what we do here. It is done. Now, if you have the courage to say something like that, this is what we do here. It is done. What you are saying to them, this is what we do here. Now, it is done. There's no discussion. There, it is done means there's no discussion. Is that right? There's no discussion when you say it's done.
Could be. Yeah. Huh? Could be. It could be.
Could be. Discussion?
You said it is done, which means there's no discussion.
No discussion.
So go ahead and do it.
You That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, no discussion.
No worry.
Yeah.
Not it's not a question of worry. Go ahead. You, it's a command. It's
yeah. Mm-hmm. No discussion.
No discussion. It's a command.
So no argument.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You finish mm-hmm. with them. So you move to something else. And they say, wow.
See what you've been using all along? You've been using that all along, and you haven't really given it the power that it has. Now you're giving it the power. It is done.
Yeah.
No discussion. So you're dealing with your people in the hospital, and you say, this is what we do, it is done. Mm-hmm. And when you say it's done, it's a little more gentle than say, no discussion. But you just say to these people, it is done. And when you say that, then you don't have to check up on them. You don't. You do check up on them because that's your job, but you don't have to check up on them. You don't have to reinforce it. It's done. It's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. You know, you say, it is done, and that's it. They know that you will not speak again. You'll hire a new nurse, you know. So they know that they'll act instantly. Would you like to have everything you tell people to do be done without having to remind them or tell them again and again? Okay. Then you must tell yourself, it is done.
And when you... Be convinced that it is so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're convinced. It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's part of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Because it's done?
This is what I'm doing. It's done, so I'm doing my thing.
I like that. I like that.
I'm living it now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Now, that'd be interesting, too.
Yep.
Nurse, clean out this room. Go live it. Wouldn't that throw him for a loop, huh? Go live it. What do you mean, go live it? Well, go through that room as though it were the room for your mother who's coming to visit you and hasn't been to your house for at least 10 years. And so she's going to come and she's going to look at this room. She's going to say, my daughter fixed this up for me, you know. So beautiful, so clean. There's not even in the corner a dust spot, you know. She's used a Q-tip to go in the corner and clean out the dust spots. She did it just for me. Now, if you could get yourself to do that for yourself, and then get your nurses to do it for themselves, and then what's the next step? Have the patients do it. Have them get out of bed and wash their windows and clean up their room and make it beautiful. Make it nice and ready for the next person. Because what's going to happen if a patient would get out of bed and clean the windows? What would happen?
Voluntary work.
No.
They go home.
They go home.
Yeah, they're done.
Voluntary. No, they go home and they don't need to come again.
They're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't go home.
They're back to their old self again. Beautiful.
We go to the hospital to return to our original purity and integrity.
It's not a continuation of new projects in that line. It's that project is the finished project.
It's finished.
You know. When you borrow someone's house and you live in someone's apartment, and they let you live in there as their guest. What do you do when you leave the apartment?
You have to get in the state.
What do you do? Not you have to. What do you do?
You're done with it.
I'm sorry?
You finish with it. Done.
Don't give me that. I asked you for a phrase. What do you do when someone gives you their apartment and you're ready to leave it? You clean it up, right?
Yeah.
You clean it up beautiful. You don't scrub things up, but you wash it down and make it lovely. All right?
Yeah.
This is what you want everyone to do in your life. everybody in your life does everything, cleaning it up beautifully, handing it on to the next person, making it nice. When you come back from your vacation and you go back in your house again and your friends are now left, do you want to have a dirty room, their dirt to clean up?
No.
You want them to clean up their own dirt. Not that they're going to be dirty, but just to put the house in order so that when you're ready to come back home, you felt like you haven't even left.
Yes.
And always do one thing.
The time.
No, you haven't heard me yet. Always put everything back the way it was when you came. Always put all the furniture back in the same location, just because you moved it for your delight and convenience. Put it back the way it was. Always make a chart of how it was. So when they come home, they won't think that anything is changed whatsoever. If you have everything rearranged, they're going to think that it's not their house. They're going to think that some person lived there that was very careless and had no taste at all, even though your taste might have been better than their taste. But always put everything back the way it was. That's hard. Now, Ellen and the girls love to come in and clean my house, but they can't remember where I had the furniture. And I tell them...
So they should come in with a photographer.
Yes. I tell them, all you have to do is look at the holes on the floor. It's a heavy carpet. And where the furniture was sitting, it made little holes in the carpet. So you just put it back in those little holes, and you have no trouble remembering. You move my bed. Hey, I see you move my bed. It's 4 inches over from where the other holes are. How could I tell you moved it? Because of the holes in the carpet. I shouldn't say holes. The indentations in the carpet, you know, because they spring back out again. But the thing is, principle, meditation. And this is what you do. This is what you do with your people. Now, the only thing she doesn't do this with her patients yet. Have all her patients get up, clean up the room before they leave. Well, you're being released this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So between now and 2 o'clock, get this room put in shape. Scrub the floor, wash the windows, get the spider webs off the ceiling, go in the closet and do all this and that. And when you leave, make sure you take all your clothing with you. Anything left behind, we put in the litter bag. Now, don't waste it if you want it, because we're just going to throw it away. Because we have so many things left around here that we can't begin to appreciate them. Mink coats, fur coats, you know, ermine, and we have all these lovely purses and beautiful brand new shoes, all these lovely things, you know, and we have to throw them away. Not because they're bad or not because they're diseased, but because we got too much of them. We got too much of them. So, you're not doing us a favor by leaving it here. Now, what has that got to do with meditation? When you are in meditation, and you finish your meditation, how is the room, how is the condition of your consciousness at the time you finish your meditation? Now, don't give me a platitude.
It's organized.
Hmm?
Organized.
It is all organized and all in order.
Order.
All organized and in order. It's all in balance. It's all in harmony. It's all complete. Mm-hmm. It's done. See, that's what happens. When you yourself are balanced, everything is balanced. You know, Chrissy, if you were a patient in the hospital, and you were in the hospital and being treated by doctors, and you were such a good patient, the doctor said, wow, if every patient were like you, you know, you hear that story. If every patient were like you, I would just be the happiest doctor in the world. And... And so then the doctor leaves and you call your cleaning service and you say, come over here. I want you to clean my hospital room. I'm leaving it. Why should we clean your hospital room while you're leaving? I'm paying you. Don't ask questions. Come over and clean this room. And clean it within an inch of his life. Give it the double whammy clean. And so they come over and clean it. And here this cleaning service comes in and cleans this one bedroom, one hospital bedroom. And the doctor comes in and says, what's all this about, you know? And you say, whenever I leave any place, I leave it better than I found it. Not that it was bad when I found it, but I leave it better than I found it. And it cost me $75 to have the cleaning service stop by and do this one room. That's what they advertised, you know. One room for $75. And they didn't know it was going to be a hospital room, but they didn't say it couldn't be anything. So they did it. And you know what happened? Do you know what happened, Miss Christie? Do you know what happened?
Yes.
What? Yes. I mean, you can play a game with me if you wish. But you know what happened? Mm-hmm. What?
Shite. He left everything in order.
Hmm?
She left the hospital organized.
Oh, yeah. She left the hospital all clean and nice. But the cleaning service was called in to do all the rest of the rooms in the hospital each time a patient left, because it cost them less to have the cleaning service come in and do it than it did to have the in-service do it at the hospital. Because to have the in-service do it at the hospital was a $200 job each time a first patient left the room. That's what they charged the patient for cleaning the room. And then they paid $75 to this firm to do it, so they made $125. And they still charge the hospital the $200.
Oh, dear.
But, no, why are hospital bills so big? Because everything is outrageous. And it's not a matter of outrageous because it has to be that way, but it's just because that's what they choose to do. Now, how does meditation solve that problem?
Put things in order. Ideas are revealed.
Ideas are revealed. Now, Chrissy, what's happening? The hospital says, Chrissy, our budget is getting out of whack. We're spending too much money. What are we going to do about it? And so Chrissy says, well, we hire the cleaning service to come in and clean the rooms instead of doing it ourselves. To do it ourselves, it costs $200. To have the cleaning service do it, $75. So we save $125 each time we have the cleaning service come in to do the room. Wow, Christy, wow. I don't know if we can do that, if the union will let us do that. Hey, doctor, or whoever you have to talk to, administrator, you say, you're concerned whether the union will let you do it? Yes, oh yes. Well then, would you mind if you'd never think that thought again? Well, sure. And would you mind if I say my word? The union is 100% harmonious with keeping the hospital in business by having the room cleaning service done outside. You hear?
Yes.
Now, if the union would not say that, the union would be mud, you know? Now, can you see? I'm talking about all these everyday little things, simple little things, that are truly difficult because they haven't been done before. And they're truly simple because they haven't been done before. And if you do them and prove that they work, you've got a wonderful thing going. Well, then what you do, Chrissy, is you say to the room cleaning service, you say, if you can clean this for $75, you can also clean it for less. And I would like to have you have all the rooms in the hospital clean after each patient leaves. And I would like you to give me a figure that is reasonable. And so then they say, okay, $50. $50 a room. And you say, that's more like it. Now, let's write that down, and we'll give that as a bid to the hospital here. Now, what could the hospital say?
Thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. I haven't even thought of that word. But yes, thank you. Now, is that the evolution of a meditation?
Yes.
And can you have meditations all the time that evolve from one point into another, into something very beautiful and something very meaningful?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to?
Yes.
It's done. Oh, Chrissy, you missed. You always say it's done. She beat you to it. Yeah, it's done. That's the point. It's done. Now, is it done?
Done.
Yes.
It's done. It's complete. It's wonderful.
Done and dusted.
Yes. So, you have really been excellent on this. Now, do you have any other questions on this or anything else like this here?
Let me write it.
You had a question there?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to write it down? How intelligent. Very good. I see your little silvery things have a tendency to come off of here.
No. It's the way it is.
Hmm?
It appears it's coming off, but it's not.
But they don't come off.
Yeah. Hmm?
Well, that's good.
But there's a design.
It does appear that way.
Mm, there's a design.
Yeah. The sun shines on them, makes them there. Well, that's good.
Are you an auditor?
Auditor, how? I mean,
they like in green. Yes, I am actually. Let me write here. So many different.
Thank you. Okay. Which side do we start?
Hmm? No, I didn't write it clear. So
on the back here.
This is clear.
Okay. What is the implication of meditations with so many different affirmations? You get different results. Next question. No, each affirmation brings its own results. And each affirmation, when used in a meditation, brings the result of the affirmation. The affirmation, I like me, and you have a whole different sensitivity in your body. The affirmation is, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, began with me. And all over the earth is peace. No longer war, but peace, harmony, joy. In families, there's peace. In homes, in businesses, there's peace. In countries and activities, it's peace. In all activities, see, now that's a tremendous variety just from peace alone. Now, what if you had said that, I like me, I like me, I like me? What would come from that affirmation?
Harmony.
Harmony? Harmony what? Oh, were you not harmonious?
There is peace on earth.
Were you not peaceful?
Yeah, but I like me, just...
That's okay, that's another thing. But I'm saying, you're talking about harmony and peace, and you're talking about generalities of this nature, and that doesn't quite make it at this point, because you're saying you want to know the answer of what happens when you have different affirmations. Does it affect your meditation and what the result of your meditation? And the answer is yes. Every affirmation is different.
So can you use it a lot? Or you just,
any what?
Can you use more than one or just use
one? You mean at the same time?
Yes.
Oh, you can, but the thing is, if you want to be really effective, use one. And when you Oh, I often use a lot of them. I'm walking along the path. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. And you know, and on and on.
They are related.
Yeah, they're related. Yeah, yeah.
If you use related, it's okay. They go on to expansion.
Sort of supporting the theme, supporting the affirmation, supporting the meditation, and it works really great.
Yes, and then sometimes I end up with, I am my original purity and integrity. I am my original purity and integrity.
Yeah, yeah.
I am my original purity and integrity.
And you feel good.
And then
you
feel that you are now seeing beyond.
I walk into the house and I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And I'm walking in the house here, and I just, you know, like dancing into the house. And everybody says, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, you know. And then Ingeborg comes out of her room, and I say, Ingeborg, how are you doing? She says, I said, Ingeborg! Oh, I'm fine. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. You know. Just having her say it changes her attitude, her life, and her being. She is whole and perfect. She is wonderful. She is fantastic. But you get into the habit of thinking that you're not, for whatever reasons. And you empower it by allowing yourself to dwell there. You know? And you do. You do. You do. You empower to be naughty. You empower to be naughty. Every time you look at, and it goes like this, and you look at it and you're so amused and you're so, inwardly you're laughing, but outwardly you're trying not to, you know, and you don't want that. You don't want him not to speak to you. You want him to speak to you articulate. And so you always, and I'm suggesting this, this is not a command, you always speak to him with love in your heart. Maybe? You always speak to him thinking he is articulate. You know what articulate means? You always speak to him knowing that he likes to speak to you clearly and precisely. You know, you're hurting him very badly by teaching him to play that game. Because then he goes to school and he plays it with his teacher and he plays it with his friends. And he plays it at inopportune moments when it's not beneficial to him at all. It should never be recognized. Never pay any attention to it. Treat him as though he is at all times articulate and speaking clearly. You speak clearly. And as long as you're going to act like a Nigerian in front of him, he's going to be nothing. He's going to be a poor little Nigerian boy who speaks with humble. How do you think Ugo got out of the throes of being a Nigerian? Ugo said one day to himself, I'm going to do it. And he went and did it. He was told he couldn't do it. We had a lot of telephone conversations. And he was told he couldn't do that. And he was told he couldn't do this and couldn't do the other thing. And I said, Ugo, it doesn't matter what other people tell you. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can't do it? He said, no. I said, well, then don't tell me or anybody else that you can't do it. You know, don't say that somebody said it. Don't empower it. And he says, okay. And so he changed his mind. I mean, Sybil has turned him over to me many times. He said, well, I talked to my mom, and she said, talk to you. And so he called, and he's talked. But the thing is, he took a hold of it. He took the bull by the horns, you know, and he says, I am the master. You, speak up. Articulate. You should go to school and learn how to speak with articulation, just like this young man that wants to become the lawyer. He'll never become a lawyer. He'll never be anything more than an ordinary person making an ordinary living for an ordinary family. But the thing is, he is not ordinary. He does not have to stay there. He only has to stay there because he doesn't want to push himself to go any further. He doesn't visualize himself speaking confidently to the court. You don't visualize yourself speaking confidently at all times to be understood, because everyone in your hospital are not from Nigeria. Many are, not everyone. And you want to speak with clear diction, clear grammar, clear articulation at all times to be understood. And I say that, but I don't care. I love you, whether you do it or not. I love you at every level of your acceptance of who you are. But if you don't want to play the game, hey, that's cool. And if you want to go and throw platitudes at me all the time instead of throwing at me, there are times for platitudes. There are times. There are times for platitudes when you say that, because that's exactly what the word calls for. But there are times that I want an answer, a specific answer, to show me that that you have accepted the question and the answer as one. But we go far beyond that, because you're not a beginner student. You're a brilliant student. You're a brilliant person. You're a person who doesn't stop at one little limitation. See, Seville, she stopped. She stopped and she said, okay, I'm done with telling other people how to run their lives. I'm going to be myself and have fun. I'm quitting this rat race. I'm not going to run around trying to tell the world how to be itself, right? I'm going to be myself. Now, you still choose to tell the world how to run around and do itself. You still tell the world how to be a good hospital, or how to be a good patient, or how to be whatever, you know. And that's okay, as long as you do that. But the moment's going to come when you wake up and you say to yourself, that's not me. What is me is all is in divine order. What is me is I like me. What is me is I like me, I like me, I like me, you see. And once you start getting into that level and you stop fooling around with the other, you'll never go back to the other. Does it make any sense?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because I do keep coming across to these things for anybody who wants to listen, not with anger in my heart, not with thinking self-righteousness from myself.
It's appreciated.
That's right. It's just to show you how you can do something that make your life so wonderful.
Yes, you are right. Right. So it is. Done.
So it is.
So it is. Thank you.
So it is. Time for us to take our pause and have our lunch and have our afternoon siesta, and then be ready for our afternoon lectures. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. You guys are good.